Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm honored and privileged to be here to bring God's word to you this morning during such an unusual time like this that we're facing. Thank God for the technology that we're able to use this kind of platform to bring you God's word. Yet I trust God that He is in control of the situation, and God willing, we will soon be able to go back to our normal worship service once again. Meanwhile, please pray for our medical professionals and hospital workers in our midst, as they are in the front line to treating patients who have been recently contracted with COVID-19. Now, this morning, I'm going to plead with you, as the Apostle Paul did, to consecrate yourself to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Now, as many years I have studied this passage, every time I read this passage, it just convicts me again and again, and it makes me want to ask myself these questions. Is my all on the altar sacrifice laid? Have I yielded everything to God? Have I surrendered all of my life to God? Now, in a sense, it is impossible for us to yield ourselves or surrender ourselves completely to God, because it is an ongoing process and a lifelong one. It doesn't end until the day we die. But at the same time, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." This imagery signifies that the Christian life is a crucified life and a life of self-denial. You are crucified to the world, to its affections, and to its various lusts or sinful desires. But when we die to ourselves, then we have life in Christ Jesus. And here's another way Jesus said. He said, "If you seek to find your life, you will lose it. And if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it." Now, it's one thing to profess to believe, and it's another thing to be truly following Christ and completely and totally consecrated to living for Him. So, I believe what I'm going to share with you, based on Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, should be put into practice by every Christian, because God wants every one of His child to fully and completely and totally surrender to Him. You will remember that we considered Romans chapter 1, verses 14 to 18 last Sunday. We mentioned that many theologians refer it as the doctrinal part of the book. As we come to Romans chapter 12, all the way to the end of chapter 16, we come to what many might call to be the practical section of the book. Having said that, I don't mean first 11 chapters of Romans are not practical, which is mostly doctrines. You see, you can't practice what you don't know. You need to know the doctrines, then you can practice it. God doesn't bless ignorance, and the Holy Spirit does not work in a vacuum. You can't neglect your Bible and expect to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit into the image and likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you're not reading your Bible, you're not growing as a Christian. Because here is how it works. God uses His Spirit through His Word to transform our lives into the image of Jesus Christ. That is how we grow. So again, here is the structure of the book of Romans. 11 chapters of doctrines closes in chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. With a doxology. Doxology means praise and worship. And then it moves into chapters 12 to 16, or five chapters of practical theology. So I believe that true, genuine praise and worship must result in the total surrender and the dedication of one's life to God. Now, in this section of Romans chapter 12, we are going to find three ways that we can consecrate our lives based upon 11 chapters of doctrines that came before it. And the three ways are, number one, the basis of consecration. Number two, the nature of our consecration. Number three, the demands and result of our consecration to God. So let us look at the first one, based on the basis of our consecration. Again, let us look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, my brethren, or brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want us to focus on the word therefore there. There are many of those therefores in the book of Romans, which is a transition word, but three of them seem to stand out. The first therefore appears in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, where it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the second one is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, where it says, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The third great therefore is found in this passage in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul says, again, I read, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Or as another translation renders it, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true and proper worship. Now, one of the key principles in interpreting the Bible is whenever you find a therefore or a transition word, you need to ask yourself the question, what is it there for? Did you catch that play of word there? I do it again. Whenever you find a transition word, therefore, you need to ask yourself the question, what is it there for? And the word therefore in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 is to make a transition from 11 chapters of doctrine in the book of Romans, mainly expounding on the theme of justification by faith alone, to five chapters of practical Christian living. In other words, Paul now wants to make a plea based on the first 11 chapters of doctrines. So Paul says, I beseech you, or I urge you, or I plead with you, by the mercies of God, to present or to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. That is the basis of our consecration to God. You ever stop and think about how merciful God has been to you? You say, I come to church on Sunday, I sing praises unto Him, I pray unto Him, and I give tithes of all that I possess, and I serve in this committee, in that committee, and I even teach Sunday school. It is all good, and I thank God for you. But what about from Monday to Saturday? I leave out Sunday because a lot of Christians think that they only worship the Lord on Sunday or once a week. Yet Paul says, present or offer yourself as living sacrifice, and which is your true and proper worship. another translation says. Now, in other words, we are called to worship God with all of our lives, from Sunday to Sunday, or 24/7. Again, it is one thing to profess that you are a believer, but it is another thing to live like a Christian consecrated to Him. Now ask yourself, do you offer yourselves, all of you, on the altar? What about your relationship? What about your marriage? What about your thought life? What about the friends that you hang out with? What about the places that you go to entertain yourself? What are the websites do you visit when no one is around? John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, said, "My memories are fading, but there are two things I know. One, that I am a great sinner, and two, Jesus is a great Savior." Now, Newton's life was consecrated and devoted and dedicated to God because of the mercies of God. Now, if God has been merciful to you, which I'm sure He has, have you consecrated and dedicated yourself to God? So, that was the basis of our consecration. It is the mercies of God, or the 11 chapters of doctrines. We are saved by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Remember that. Now I want you to notice the second point in verse 1, and that is the very nature of our consecration. What is the nature of our consecration to God? Again, in verse 1 says, "I beseech you," or urge you, "therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present or offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service," or your true and proper worship. So, what is the nature of our consecration to God? It has two prominent characteristics. Firstly, it is a total commitment. Secondly, it is a commitment of your whole being. I want us to look at verse 1 again, when he says to present or to offer. It literally in the Greek means once and for all, total, complete consecration of your body. It is the word that it is used in reference to sacrificing an animal in the Old Testament. And then the word body, it doesn't just mean your physical flesh. The word body means all of you, your whole being, your mind, your will, and your body. It means what you do with your eyes, your ears, your mouth, or your tongue, your hands, and your feet matter. Before it was used for sinful purposes, now is to be used to glorify God. Your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it belongs to God and not your own. If you are really worshiping God, you are going to worship God with everything you are and everything you have, your whole being. And you can't compartmentalize your Christian life. And you say, okay, you get Sunday, you can't say to God, you get Sunday and the rest of the week is mine. You get Sunday morning and the rest of the Sunday afternoon and evening is mine. No, we don't worship God once a week. All day, every day of the week belongs to God. So your thought life matters. How you use your words matter. How you react or respond to things matter as well. So that's what this verse is saying, a total and complete consecration. And then notice he says that it is also a reasonable service or true and proper worship. And the word there, reasonable there, is in Greek is logizo. It is where we got our English word logical from. Logical, logizo. So if it is logical for birds to fly and fish to swim, and Christians what? It is logical for Christians to worship God every single day, 24/7. For it is only reasonable or logical, Paul says. So if you truly love the Lord, you want to tell him, Lord, I give my life to you. Guide me. Direct me. Have your own way. Lead me. And I belong to you. I want you and your will in my life. Lord, I don't want to do my will. I want to do your will. The Lord may send you to a place where you don't want to go. The Lord may ask you to reconcile with your husband or your wife or your friend or even your neighbor. The Lord may ask you to teach Sunday school or serve as deacon or in some committee in church, which some of you already have. Praise the Lord. As the old hymn says, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Have you yielded to his control? The person by the name of Sam Shoemaker once said, to be a Christian means to give as much of myself as I can and give as much of Jesus Christ as I know. So I repeat it once again. To give as much of myself as I can, and to give as much of Jesus Christ as I know. So Christians live for God. Christians follow God's will in obedience unto him, which is your what? Reasonable act of service or act of worship. It is only logical. Notice also that you present yourself as a living sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, they knew only about dead sacrifices. But this is a living sacrifice. In other words, dying to live. That seemed like a contradictory thing. But this is exactly what God demands us to do. Which leads me to third and the final point, the demands and the result of our consecration. What are the demands of our consecration? The demands are twofold, and they are in the imperatives or command form. The first is negative. Paul says, be not conformed to this world. Commandment number one. Second one is positive. Paul says, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Command number two. Let us take a look at each of these commands. Be not conformed to this world. Notice that this is not only a command, but it is also in its present tense, which means it is an ongoing process, which means that it does not stop until the day we see Christ. One translation renders it as, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Another translation says, don't let the world press you into its mold. Or don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Now, many Christians get influenced by the world, and they're thinking like the world, and they're acting like the world, and they're living like the world. And they're worldly-minded rather than spiritually-minded, unfortunately. and they are letting the world push them into its mold or being conformed by the world. Kind of like pouring jello or jello pudding into a mold, and it comes out the shape of whatever the mold is. So we need to be careful what movies we watch, what music we would listen to, what places we go to, and what kind of friends we hang out with. Remember, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Do you realize what Paul is saying, simply reiterating what Jesus has said in the gospel about following him and living a consecrated life? You see, when we conform ourselves to this world, we are living after the pattern of this world. When that happens, our love for God and the things of God also diminishes or even disappears. John says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, what he said, "Love not the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And what are the things of the world? John goes on to say in 1 John chapter 2, they are lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Remember, the word lust refers to sinful desires. Therefore, we need to be careful that we don't begin to be loving the things of this world, but rather, Paul says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, which is the second imperative, and it is also a positive command. Now, the word transformed in Greek is where we get our English word metamorphosis. It is a biological process by which an animal physically develops and change after birth or hatching into something else. For example, we know that a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Similarly, a Christian should turn into a butterfly, not staying as a caterpillar. You say, what do you mean? You see, to be conformed to this world is to hinder what is on the inside from expressing itself on the outside. Transforming from a caterpillar into a butterfly. But to transform, we need to allow what is on the inside to be expressed on the outside, so that a caterpillar, so-called, would turn into a beautiful butterfly. You know, too many Christians are walking around like little worms, little caterpillars, and they need to let the butterfly out. You say, how do you do that? How do I let the butterfly out? You need to allow the Spirit of God to transform you, or allow him to metamorphosize you through the Word of God, so that what is on the inside begins to express itself on the outside. But also notice this word transformed in Greek is in the passive voice. You say, what does that even mean? That means you can't transform yourself alone or by yourself. You need to make an effort, yes, to read God's word and to pray, but ultimately, someone else on the outside has to act upon you to help you to make the transformation. That someone else is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. When you do that, the end result is that you will know the will of God. Paul says, because you are already living in His will. If you do that, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind," and he says, "that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let me show you two passages, and I am done. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, "Be not drunken with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." And then Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Now notice two things he said if you wish to transform yourself by renewing of your mind. He said, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit," in the passage from Ephesians. And then in the passage from Colossians, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you." I believe with all my heart there's nothing more important in the Christian life than those two things he mentioned: the Spirit of God and the Word of Christ. So this is my plea with you this morning. Read your Bible or the Word of God and get on your knees to ask God to fill you with His Spirit, or the Spirit of God. Now this is the only way which would enable you to live the life that God wants you to live. To live to be the kind of the husband God wants you to be. The kind of wife that God wants you to be. The kind of parent God wants you to be. The kind of child that God wants you to be. The kind of worker or boss God wants you to be. The kind of student or teacher God wants you to be. Or whatever it might be. And if you are already doing this constantly in your life, you are already in the will of God. You are already living in the will of God. What did Paul say? In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the latter half of verse 2 says, "that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In other words, when you offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God, when you live a life of worship, you will be able to test or to prove what God's will is for you, because you are already living in His holy will, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So my challenge to you this morning is, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Remember, that means to present your whole being, and it is living because it is an ongoing process, and it never ends until the day we see Christ. And do not conform to this world. That means don't let the world push you into its mold. Do not follow the patterns of this world. And Paul says, lastly, "but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." That means, remember, your mind can only begin to be renewed by reading God's Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to change you. And so that you can be the kind of person God wants you to be, living a consecrated life. May God help us all. Thank you.